You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, if you would open them, please, to Luke chapter 11. And our text today, Luke 11, verses 14 through 26. Luke 11, 14 through 26. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept and clean and put in order. Then it goes in and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first." This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we have this great treasure that you have given to us, the revelation of yourself. Lord, speak to us today, we pray, through your word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit take the words of the preacher and empower them with great power, power of the Holy Spirit to change hearts and lives through your word. And Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice today, and your voice only. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The public ministry of Jesus was marked with almost constant controversy. The incident in our text today is an example of one of those occasions. And let me say, by way of application, you hardly ever get application in the introduction, but let me say by way of application here, that we should not be surprised if we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if we are faithful to what Christ calls us to do, that there will be controversy. It marked the ministry of our Lord, and I'm not really sure why the church today thinks they should be immune from that. But this particular instance arose when Jesus cast out a demon from a man that had rendered him unable to speak. And the man began to speak, and the people were amazed. They marveled at the power and authority of Jesus. And it is that power and authority which arouses the opposition of the religious leaders. Now, I realize that Luke does not identify these people and say they're religious leaders, but down in verse 19, Jesus speaks of their followers, which would indicate to me, at least, that these are Jesus' normal adversaries, the religious leaders in Israel. And their opposition to Jesus is really based on one thing: fear. Fear that his authority and the wonders and miracles that he worked would draw the followers away from them to Jesus. that would influence their standing and their position among the people. And also they would lose their income, which they derove from the ministry, if that's what you want to call it, that they perpetrated upon the people. And this animosity, this opposition to Jesus, was driven really by this fear, even as they said one time in council together, we will lose our position, we'll lose our place if this man continues. So they began to plot how to kill Jesus. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing how the heart of unregenerate people will reject the truth. It's a mark of sin and disbelief that people reject the clear truth that is before them, in the case at hand, right before their eyes. Now, they can't reject the miracle. Multitudes had seen Jesus perform the miracle. So their next approach is to begin to discredit Jesus. They attack Jesus' character, his motivation, and his methods. And they begin with this accusation. It is by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that he casts out demons. They want to take away the awe and the respect with which the people hold Jesus by claiming that his miracles and wonders are done through demonic powers to scare the people away from Jesus, in essence. Some of them said to test him, "Show us a sign from heaven." Now, you might think they're asking for a sign in the skies, but this is really a Jewish idiom, a Hebrew idiom. You know, they did not pronounce the name of God. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, you see Matthew referring constantly to the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God. They're saying here, show us a sign from heaven, that is, from God. You've shown us a sign from the devil. Won't you show us something from God? So you see their attacks upon Jesus. And Jesus replies to their attack in a number of ways, which we're going to look at this morning. But first, in something that is somewhat unusual in the Gospels, Jesus answers them with a persuasive, logical argument. Jesus most often dismissed his critics with a very terse quotation from Scripture or one of his own authoritative pronouncements and just dismissed them quickly. But here he appeals to their sense of logic. Use your head, he says to them. If Satan is working against Satan, if his house is divided, if one demon is casting out another demon, how will that kingdom stand? He said, that doesn't make sense, does it? You know, we've seen in the long history of the world, the Civil War never produces anything good. It produces death. It produces destruction. It produces bad economic circumstances for both sides. So Jesus says, hey, if Satan is casting out Satan, his kingdom will not stand in that way. So Jesus, you know, shows them, number one, the logical fallacy of their accusation. But Jesus is not done with that. He adds to that the contradictory nature of their accusation. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers cast them out? Now, there is ample evidence from the secular history, even from Scripture, that there were Jewish exorcists who cast demons out of people. And, well, Acts 19 and verse 13 and following, we have an example in Scripture. The seven sons of Sceva, and Sceva was one of the chief priests, and those seven boys of his were driving out demons from people. They made a mistake one day, though, as Acts records there. They were dealing with a man who was possessed by a demon, and they thought, well, we'll just invoke the name of Jesus to cast this demon out. And the demon spoke to them and said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And then the demon-possessed man jumped on all seven of them and beat them to a bloody pulp. So Jesus says, and really doesn't make any judgment here, he just asks a question. He doesn't defend or accuse those who are doing that. He just says, they will be your judges. And this is a question. It's probably a question that arises in your mind, even after that little example and after examples we see in our world. What about the charlatans and the false prophets, the false teachers, and others who seemingly do miraculous works? Those who do exorcisms, those who work seeming miracles. If they're false teachers, is that not one demon driving out another? And I think Luther has the best explanation of this. He says that this is not demons at odds with each other. This is not civil war among the demons. He says what they're doing, and the demons obviously recognize one another. The demon in the false prophet is commanding the other demon to come out, and that demon is doing so to lead people into error, into idolatry, into false belief in this false teacher. They're cooperating with one another. They're not at odds with one another. He said even Satan, to further his lying agenda, to further the deception that he practices, even he will allow himself to be cast out if it will mislead people and lead people into sin and error. So that we need to consider. But Jesus goes on. He's not through with his answer. He condemns their willful blindness there in verse 20. He says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. If it is by the power of God that I'm doing this, the kingdom of God has come to you. And if you'll allow me to engage in a little bit of historical speculation, can you not see Jesus standing before the demon-possessed man and pointing at him and commanding the demon to come out? Now, to be clear, the scripture does not tell us whether Jesus used any such gestures or not. But if he did, it was in fact the finger of God that drove that demon out. It was that finger that pointed at him and told him to come forth. But, you know, be that as it may, what has happened here, if Jesus is not casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, which he is not, then the kingdom of God has come in the very presence of these people. The finger of God is indeed the work of Jesus Christ in this world. Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. And the works that he did, the people that he touched, the blind man when he put the mud on his eyes, it was indeed the finger of God working, reversing the effects of sin, reversing the work of the devil. And that's what these miracles attest to. They are the invasion of God into the kingdom of Satan and vivid proof that Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. And if that is the case, the kingdom has come to these people, and as we well know, they have not recognized it. The kingdom has come, and all they can do is attack the king. But Jesus says, let me explain to you how this works. If a strong man is armed, he's got many weapons, you're not going to go in his house and take his stuff. You're not going to rob that man's house because he's prepared and he's armed, and he's got all these kinds of armor and all these kinds of weapons. And indeed, Satan is equipped with all kinds of weapons. There are all kinds of weapons that he uses against mankind to bring them down, to keep others, you know, to dissuade them from the gospel, to keep them out of church, to keep them from places where they might hear the gospel. Satan uses all kinds of trickery and all kinds of weapons and all kinds of attacks upon people. And indeed, the heart of unregenerate people is the home of Satan. Ephesians 2:2 says, he is the spirit that is at work in the hearts of unbelievers. So that is his place. That's his castle, so to speak. And he's armed and he's trying to repel these attacks. But Jesus says if one stronger comes, he can't do anything about that. If one stronger than him comes, he can attack his fortress. He can overpower him. He can, no matter what weapons he has, if the stronger one comes, he can take over and take what he wants from his house. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Satan is the prince of this world. And Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. He comes into the hearts of people to change their lives, to change their eternal destiny. And there's nothing that Satan can do to stop him. So Jesus says, look, it's not just that. I am stronger than the devil. Have you, in any of these instances we've seen where Jesus commands demons, there is no resistance. There is no argument. In fact, we see them begging at times, as in the herd of pigs and the Gadarene demoniac. Please let us go into the pigs. They can't go there unless Jesus gives permission. He is the strong man. He is the stronger man. And it is this invasion of Satan's territory that these miracles prove. Jesus comes and changes the effects of sin, blindness and lameness and death. We see him over and over in the Gospels reversing the things that Satan has done. Jesus also says that there is a sharp line here, a sharp dividing line. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save people. Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to give life. Satan's objective is to steal and to kill and to destroy. What Jesus Christ tries to gather, Satan tries to scatter. There is no cooperation between Christ and Satan. They're in direct opposition to one another. And that applies in a personal way to people. There is a sharp dividing line. There is no neutrality with Jesus Christ. You're either with Jesus 100% or you're not. This is a problem for many people today. Many people who profess to be Christians kind of want an easy Christianity. They want an easy sort of believism. They want to be on easy terms with the world and still profess Christ. They want to be in league with the devil some days and follower of Christ other days. Jesus says that doesn't work. You're either with me or against me. You're either gathering or scattering. And there is no in between. There is no place where these two meet. You're on this team or that team. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There's regenerate people and lost people. There's not some gray area in between who are pretty good. And this is the problem today. There are many people who are thinking that they're okay. They go to church. they know the name of Jesus. You know, they do things. Calvin called it civic righteousness. They're into good deeds, but they're not with Christ. And if they're not with Christ, they're against Christ. There is no man's land in between. It's a very sharp line that divides. And Jesus said there's nothing more dangerous than that. There's nothing more dangerous than cleaning yourself up. There's nothing more dangerous than being like these religious leaders. And they looked to their legalistic righteousness. They looked to their works of moral perfection in their eyes. They looked to their ceremonial observances to drive out the demon, to drive out Satan. They were looking to their works and to their adherence to the law, and that cleaned them up. In their Pharisaic righteousness, they had cleaned their house and swept it. They had cleaned up all the dirt. And there are many people like that. They cleaned themselves up. They're not what they once were. They're much better than what they once were, but they're not indwelt by the Spirit of God. It's just an empty house. And Jesus says, that's just a nice place for more demons to come. And the state of that man, he said, will be worse than the first. He's looking at his adversaries. They prided themselves on their appearance. We'll see in a few weeks he pronounces woes on them. They clean the outside of the cup and the outside of the dish. They don't bother to wash the inside. It's full of corruption. They look good, but nothing has happened in their heart. And so it's the perfect place for even more evil to come. And there are professing Christians today who need to heed what Jesus says here. They have cleaned themselves up morally. They've gotten rid of some bad habits. They're nicer to their neighbor. They don't beat the dog anymore. They've done all these things to improve their life, and yet they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. They're ready, ripe, to be taken over, and they are. They have this Pharisaic devil, just like these. It's based on works, and based on largely their own opinion of themselves. But there's been no change in their heart. And Jesus says that's a dangerous, very dangerous place to be. And the final condition of people who are like that will be worse than anything they can imagine. Jesus said in that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many miracles in your name? And in your name drive out demons, do many other works. And he said, I will say to them plainly, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. There will be a sharp dividing line there. And that dividing line is the judgment of Christ, the judge of all the earth. Jesus Christ will be the judge of all the earth. And indeed, it will be the finger of God. Jesus will say to some, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And he will say to others, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Go and join those who scatter, while I bring and gather to myself my own. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a loving and compassionate God. Lord, we thank you that you're all powerful. Lord, we thank you that greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. But Lord, we would pray for those who have not your spirit within them, who are empty, perhaps moral, perhaps good people, but a heart that's empty and ready for even more wickedness. Lord, truly change their hearts. Lord, we ask that you would give them the gift of your spirit to change their hearts, that they might believe and be saved. Lord, that indeed they would be possessed by your spirit, Lord. And how we thank you that we are in the hands of the strong man, the strongest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. None can snatch us out of his hand. Lord, what a blessing. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we just pray that we would grow daily and be able to withstand the assaults of the enemy more effectively. Lord, that we would witness for you more effectively for your glory and honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.